This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us in the tafsir class. Today, inshallah, we will try to finalize all the ayat, starting from the story of Harut and Marut. And the other important issue we'll discuss today is abrogation in the Quran. First, we will start with the story of Harut and Marut. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And when there came to them a messenger from Allah confirming what was with them, a party of those who were given the scripture threw away the book of Allah behind their backs as if they did not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when there came to them a messenger from Allah confirming what was with them, what was with the Jews. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the Jews. And when there came to them, to the Jews, a prophet, a messenger, which is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, confirming what was with them, confirming At-Tawrah, a party of those who were given the scripture threw away the book of Allah behind their backs as if they did not know. وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُ الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ. This is the long ayah, ayah 101, which talks about the story of Sulaiman, the story of Harut and Marut, the story of magic. They followed what the shayateen gave out in the lifetime of Sulaiman. وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُ الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى سُلَيْمَانِ. Sulaiman did not disbelieve, but the shayateen disbelieved, teaching men magic and such things that came down to at Babylon to the two angels, Harut and Marut. They followed, who are they? They followed which people? The companions, the Christians, the Jews, hypocrites. The people followed what the shayateen gave out. The Jews. It's still talking about the Jews, party of the Jews. Followed what the shayateen gave out at in the lifetime of Sulaiman. Now, in the lifetime of Sulaiman alayhi salam, what's the significance about Sulaiman alayhi salam? Why Sulaiman alayhi salam is mentioned here? The kingdom of Sulaiman was not like any other kingdom on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability to use everything, animals, jinn, everything. So in the lifetime of Sulaiman alayhi salam, there were jinn that Sulaiman alayhi salam used. But these jinns, they may use some things which are forbidden. But that does not mean Sulaiman alayhi salam is responsible for these forbidden things. He did not use it. What do we believe in Sulaiman alayhi salam? Sulaiman alayhi salam is what? He's a prophet. Now, at the time of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sulaiman alayhi salam was mentioned. So some Jews said, look at him. He's mixing what is right with what is wrong. He's mentioning Sulaiman. Sulaiman was not a prophet. He was a king and he was a magician. So Allah wanted to clarify this. He told the Jews at the time of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Sulaiman, he did not disbelieve. Sulaiman did not teach magic. Sulaiman was not a magician. That's what some of the Jews think. But rather, Sulaiman was a prophet. Sulaiman did not disbelieve, but the shayateen disbelieved. How the shayateen disbelieved? Teaching men magic. Now, this statement, teaching men magic, this sentence explains the reason why they disbelieved. In another term, you could say, but the shayateen disbelieved because they are teaching men magic. That's the reason. So scholars said they derived from this a ruling. They said whoever learned magic and used it, he is what? Kafir, he's a disbeliever. Why? Because usually you cannot be a magician, you cannot become a magician without disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever committed magic, he is a kafir. Now, is magic, what is magic?
Controlling the shayateen?
Well, actually, it's the other way. Actually, the shayateen controls the human being. And the human being does with what the shayateen tells him. But if I told you I could hide this paper, and I did something, and I was skillful, is this magic? Is this magic?
It's just
It's magic to the eyes, but it's in reality it's not magic. It's a skill. Magic is when you use something. When you use something to affect, to have a physical effect. That's the magic. Azaim wa ruqa. That's what we say in Arabic. When you blow in something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran the story of Musa alayhi salam with the magicians. He said, وَسَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ. Their magic was not real on the rods themselves, but it was on the eyes of people. They gave the people the impression that these are snakes. وَسَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. So there are types of magic. Some scholars said it depends on the type of magic that people are using. If it involves kufr, then the one who does it is kafir and he should be killed as a kafir. If it's not, then he should be killed as a Muslim but as a punishment. Because even if you are not involving anything which is kufr, can you still use magic? Can you do it? No. The Prophet ﷺ said, اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات الشرك بالله والسحر. It comes right away after shirk billah. So teaching men magic and such things that came down at Babylon. Now what, again, what's the issue of Babylon? Babylon in Iraq, where there are two names mentioned here, to the two angels. In Arabic, in the ayah, وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ, the two angels, Harut and Marut. What do you learn from this ayah when it tells you teaching men magic and such things that came down at Babylon to the two angels? What did these two angels have at Babylon? Magic, yes. Magic. Again, magic. Is magic halal or haram? Haram. How could angels have magic? It's a test. Could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala test us with evil things? What's the story of those two angels? Now, in the ayah, it doesn't mention their story. But there are some Israeliyat, there are some interpreters mentioned that those two angels, they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how He is so patient with human beings, that they sin and Allah still forgives them. So Allah told the angels that within the human beings there is desire. There are things that are not in the angels. If it's in the angels also will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the angels wanted to test that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Harut and Marut, and He put in them the same desires as we have as human beings. So from the first day, they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now again, it's not mentioned in the ayah. We don't want to go to the details, but they are two angels, as the ayah say, in Babylon, and they used to teach magic. But again, although it is haram, it was a fitna from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's what the ayah says. But neither of these two taught anyone till they had said, we are for trial, so disbelieve not. So before they teach anyone, they tell them, look, we can teach you, but it is a trial from Allah. Do not learn it. Do not disbelieve. Again, this is another evidence that magic is what? Is it a sin or it's a disbelief? It's a disbelief according to the ayah. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. So it could be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could send something evil to test us. And from these people, learn that by which they cause separation between man and his wife. Again, this is type of magic. They teach people what causes the separation between the husband and the wife. But they could not thus harm anyone except by Allah's leave. وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. You always need to remember that no matter how people were powerful, how much magic was strong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more powerful and stronger. And nothing happens, yarhamkumullah, nothing happens without His permission. You need to remember that. And they learn, the people, and they learn that which harms them and profits them not. What do you learn from this?
Magic is not beneficial.
Yeah, magic is not useful. I mean, why don't we hire a magician to give us like $2 million? Magicians, they are very miserable. They are living a very bad life because you think they have control over other people, but actually they are controlled by the jinn. And I know many stories about magicians. The first thing, the jinn tell the magician, if he wanted to become a magician, he has to urinate over the Quran. Or he has to use the Quran to do evil things. Worst things you could imagine. And then they give him like specific hours he could sleep in these hours. He sleep with the filth, with the impurities. Very horrible things. That's why Allah tells you, and they learn that which harms them and profits them not. And indeed, they knew that the buyers of what? Of magic, would have no share in the hereafter. Again, this is another evidence that the magician is what? Is kafir. Because who will not have any share in the hereafter? The disbeliever. If you are a believer, no matter how many sins you commit, you will still have some share. You will end up eventually in paradise, inshallah. But here, would have no share in the hereafter. And how bad indeed was that for which they sold their own slaves, their own selves, if they but knew. So Allah is telling the Jews, especially those who teach magic, who learnt magic, that it's not useful. Now, was the Prophet ﷺ affected by magic or not? Yes. Labid ibn al-Asam, the Jewish person, he made the magic against the Prophet ﷺ. And upon that incident, what happened? How the Prophet ﷺ was cured? Yes, it was revealed. This happened in Mecca or Medina? In Medina, Jews were not in Mecca. Then why all of you wrote قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مَكَّنْ سُورَةً? What happened to you?
I'm not expecting, you know,
that. What? Think about the question. It was clear. Yeah, this is in general, not always. Okay, so this ayah about Sulaiman alayhi salam, about those two angels, Harut and Marut, who are they? What happened to them exactly? We don't know, but some interpreters mentioned their story. How they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's happening to them? All these are details. You read it or you don't read it, it's not really that important. Now, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقُولُوا رَاعِنَا. O you who believe, say not رَاعِنَا, but say انظرنا, and hear. And for the disbelievers, there is a painful punishment. Now, this is another instruction, to use the good words. Now, sometimes you use words that have evil meanings. Even if you did not mean that wrong meaning, don't say it. Because other people may take it the wrong way. So this is again another teaching of Islam. To be respectful, to use the good language. They say, some interpreters said that Ra'ina has an evil meaning in the Jewish language. And when they used to hear the Muslims telling the Prophet ﷺ Ra'ina, they used to like it. Because again, they are telling the Prophet ﷺ a bad word. So Allah sent down this ayah. Now Ra'ina, what does it mean? Ra'ina from Mura'a means care about us. Give us a break. That's the meaning of Ra'ina. But also it has another meaning, Ru'una. Ru'una is like recklessness. Carelessness. He's careless. So it has a bad meaning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the believers to use a good word instead. وَلَكِنْ قُلُوا انظُرْنَا. Unzurna has the same meaning. Unzurna, give us more time, wait for us, and hear. And for the disbelievers, there is a painful punishment. Neither those who disbelieve among the people of the scripture, nor idolaters like that, there should be sent down unto you any good from your Lord. ما يود الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب ولا المشركين أن ينزل عليكم من خير من ربكم. Now, neither those who disbelieve among the people of the scripture. Does that mean there are people among the people of the scripture are believers? Isn't that what the ayah say? So in this case, we cannot tell any Jew that he is disbeliever. He is a believer. The one before the time of the Prophet? No, it was revealed to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The same thing you're saying before the time of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, again, even let's say that this ayah is not clear, what do we do? We have clearer ayat that says inna dina indallah al-islam. That's what the fearful people, the fearful of the people of piety, that's what they do. They go back to the detailed ayat. But the people who have deviation in their hearts, what do? They follow the ayat that are mutashabihat. But again, this ayah is true. Yeah, there are some people of the scripture, they are not disbelievers. Those who are before the Prophet ﷺ, Waraqa bin Nawfal, and the others. So here Allah says, neither those who disbelieve among the people of the scripture, nor idolaters, like that there should be sent down unto you any good from your Lord. Any good. What does that tell you? Do the disbelievers love the Muslims? They don't. They don't wish any good to be sent to you. So don't be naive. Don't be stupid when you think that the disbelievers will be happy with you, will be pleased with you. But Allah chooses for His mercy whom He wills. ولكن الله يختص برحمته من يشاء. And Allah is the owner of great bounty. So again, it's not up to your skill or your strength. You are the chosen person by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the mercy and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Jews say, no, the messenger has to be from the children of Israel, that's not true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Arab. So it's not a condition. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we are coming to an important issue, which is abrogation in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Whatever an ayah we abrogate or cause to be forgotten, we bring a better one or similar to it. Know you not that Allah is able to do all things? What do you understand from this ayah? Whatever an ayah we abrogate or cause to be forgotten. Some ayat the Prophet ﷺ may forget. So how can we trust the Quran then? Well, that's the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Allah wants. Maybe there are some ayat Allah caused the Messenger ﷺ to forget. So it's not Quran anymore. Maybe there are ayat abrogated. What will happen then? We bring a better one. A better one, or similar to it. Does that mean there are ayat better than the ayat? The Quran is not the same. What do you mean by better here? We bring a better one. So you could say there is a worse ayah and there is a better ayah. Is that what it means?
Easier.
Yes, better means better in make better in understanding for you. Better in a sense that it is easier to implement. That's what we mean by better. But all of them are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similar in clarification, similar in difficulty, similar in the number, similar in the ruling. That's the meaning. Know you not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things? So we have what we call naskh in the Quran, abrogation. Again, what's the wisdom behind abrogation? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down an ayah and then He changes it? Doesn't Allah know what He should send? Why the naskh happens in the Quran? Why abrogation happens in the Quran? Yes? To make it easier for the people to follow it. Why then it's not from the beginning? Yes, the clear example is alcohol. When you are addicted to alcohol, it's difficult to give it up one day, overnight. So how the revelation came? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first told them that there are benefits in alcohol, but the disadvantages are more. Then Allah told them, when you come to the prayer, avoid being intoxicated. Do not be intoxicated when you come to the prayer. So they had to avoid it for some time. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that alcohol is riches, it's impurity. So avoid it. And they avoided it. So it was gradual legislation. Yes. The changing of the Qibla, what about it? What about the changing of the Qibla? Again, it is naskh, it is abrogation. Abrogation of what? Of a ruling. They were supposed to face Jerusalem, Baitul Maqdis. Then they moved south to Mecca. They became facing Al-Qibla. Now we have several types of naskh, and when we mention these types, it will become more clear, inshallah. Naskh of the ruling, but the ayah is still in the Quran. There are some ayat include ruling, but the ruling is not valid anymore. We don't implement it now. Like what? Do you know any example of this? Yes. Adultery. What is the ruling of it, and where is the ayah that is abrogated? Yes, that's correct. In Surah An-Nisa, وَالَّاتِي يَأْتِينَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِنْكُمْ. Those who fornicate of your women, of the wives, bring forth four witnesses. If they come and there are four witnesses, then hold them in the house. حَتَّى يَتَوَفَّاهُنَّ مَوْتُ. Until they die, or Allah determines another decree. This ayah in Surah An-Nisa. Now, is this ruling still valid until now? No. What's the ruling if a married woman committed adultery? Stoning to death? That's wrong, actually. Stoning to death when there are four witnesses. This is a misconception. Many people, they come and say, Islam is crucial. How come you stone a woman just for adultery? Well, the punishment is not for the adultery itself. The punishment is for exposing yourself to others. When you are committing this sin in front of everybody, if four people were able to see you, that means you are disease in this society that you should be removed. That's the punishment. So again, this ayah is not valid. That's correct. Another in Surah Al-Mujadila, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نجيتم الرسول فقدموا بين يدي نجواكم صدقة. All you who believe, whenever you wanted to talk to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, bring forth in advance a charity. Give in charity. This ruling was at the beginning. Why? Now it is establishing the society and everybody wanted to talk to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Maybe the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is busy. There are more important things, and you are taking away the time of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So before you do that, give in charity. But then, is it still valid later on? No. Because Allah says in the next ayah, فَإِذْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَتَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. So they did not have to do it later on. They had to do it for some time, but then they did not do it. So this ayah again, there is a ruling and it was abrogated. But is the ayah still there or not? The ayah is still in the Quran. Until now we read it in Surah Al-Mujadila. Imagine if now we said you cannot ask a question without paying $10 charity. Would you ask any question? You will only ask a question which you really need. I think that's a good idea actually. Imagine if people talked only when they needed to talk. They asked only when it's really important question. So anyway, this is the first example. Now why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep the ayah in the Quran? Since the ruling is over, we don't apply it. So why the ayah is there? The ayah should be removed. Yes. Maybe we learn from this one lesson that you should not talk if it's not necessary. Well, Allah kept the ayah to remind us of His mercy, that this was at the beginning. Now, this ruling is what? It is lightened. You don't have to do it. So, it is mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the ayah is there, so we recite it and we get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if this ayah was not there, maybe now we don't have 6236 ayah, we will have 6235 ayah. So which is better, to keep the ayah or not? When you read the ayah, you get the reward. So this is wisdom behind that. The second type, naskh of the recitation of the ayah, but the ruling is still valid. Now the recitation of the ayah was there, but the ayah itself is not there. Yet the ruling is there. Could you give me an example for this? Any example for this? You don't know? Number three, naskh of the ayah and the ruling. So the ayah is not there anymore and the ruling is not there anymore. Like what? Yes. Stoning adulterers. This is for number two. That's correct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the ayah. الشيخ والشيخة إذا زنيا فرجموهما البتة. If the old man and the old woman, means the married man and woman, if they committed adultery, then stone them to death. But is this ayah there in the Quran now? Do we have it in the Quran now? Have you ever read this ayah, الشيخ والشيخة إذا زنيا فرجموهما البتة? Have you ever read it? No, so it's not there. But what about the ruling? The ruling is still valid. This is number two. What about number three? Naskh of the ayah and the ruling. Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih al-Bukhari, she says, كان مما نزل من القرآن عشر رضعات معلومات يحرمنا. Aisha radiallahu anha said, of what was revealed in the Quran, 10 times of nursing the baby will make him foster son. Which means if a woman nurses a baby for 7 times, it's not enough. 8 times, it's not enough. Then this ruling was abrogated by another ayah. ثُمَّ نُسِخْنَا بِخَمْسِ رَضَعَاتٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ يُحَرِّمْنَا. It was abrogated by 5 times, it will make this person foster son or foster daughter. وَكَانَتْ مِمَّا يُقْرَأُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. So the first ruling, 10 times, is it there in the Quran now? No. Is the ruling still valid? No. So this is an example for the third type. So this is the reason why naskh happens in the Quran. At the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some companions, like when Siyam was legislated, at the beginning they were not allowed to eat more than one time. You are fasting, you broke your fast at the sunset, after 1 hour, that's it. If you slept, you cannot eat anymore. So what will happen if someone came but he slept before the sunset and he woke up later after 2 hours? He cannot eat. He has to continue fasting the next day. That's what happened. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated that, people were happy. You see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the naskh in the Quran. Does naskh happen in other religions other than the Quran? Does it happen in other religions? Of course it happens. Now the Christians, they believe the Old Testament, is it valid or it's abrogated? They believe it's abrogated. So it's not something strange to have naskh in the Quran. There are many reasons, many lessons behind naskh. Okay. We are moving now to ayah number 108. Am turiduna, or do you want to ask your messenger, as Musa was asked before? Or do you, who's you? Who did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean by you, or do you?
The Jews.
The Jews? Your messenger, who's their messenger? Or do you ask your messenger?
Muslims.
Oh, Muslims. So it is Muslims?
Yes.
Which Muslims? Us? It could be the companions. Yes, who said that?
Shaza.
Good. The companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the companions, or do you companions want to ask Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Musa was asked before? What do you learn from this? Why the story of the cow was revealed? Do not ask useless questions. Do not ask questions that because of your question, it became haram, or it became prohibited, or it became mandatory that you have to do it. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding people that not to ask too much. Or it could be, or do you, O Jews, want to ask your messenger? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is their messenger, whether they like it or not. He is their messenger. As Musa was asked before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Jews, at the time of Musa alayhi salam, his people also asked several questions. Questions that they don't want to answer, just provoking questions. So do not do the same. It could be also. And he who changes faith for disbelief, verily he has gone astray from the right way. This again is evidence, maybe that it means the Jews as well. Now we're moving to ayah, to the dispute between the Jews and the Christians. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ Ayah 111. And they say, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّهُ وَقَالُ لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ I'm sorry, this is, and they say, none shall enter paradise unless he be a Jew or a Christian. وَقَالُ لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى These are their own desires. Say, produce your evidence if you are truthful. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ None shall enter paradise unless he be a Jew or a Christian. These are their own desires. Now that's what they say. The Jews, they say, only the Jews will enter paradise. The Christians will say, only the Christians will enter paradise. What did Allah say about it? Did He approve what they said? Yeah, that's what will happen. What did Allah say? Produce your evidence. What does that tell you? If you claim something, you have to produce the evidence. وَالدَّعَوَى إِن لَمْ تَقُمْ عَلَيْهَا بَيِّنَاتٌ أَصْحَابُهَا أَدْعِيَاءُ If you claim something and you don't produce the evidence, then it's just a claim, it's not a fact. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Are they truthful? Do they have evidence? No, that's why Allah say, Bala, yes. Or you could say, Nay, but whoever submits his face, Bala man aslama wajhahu lillah, whoever submits his face to Allah, and he is a good doer, then his reward is with his Lord. Bala man aslama wajhahu lillah wa muhsin, falahu ajruhu inda rabbih. On such shall be no fear, وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ Nor shall they grieve. So is it true that only the Christians and the Jews will enter paradise? No. That's what Allah says. Whoever submits, so again, it's not according to what you say. It's only claims. It is also deeds. We could tell even this to the Muslims. When you say, I am Muslim, you have to to produce the evidence. What's the evidence that you are a Muslim? If you are truthful, produce the evidence. You pray, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Jews said, now this is another dispute. Now at the beginning they said the Jews and the Christians will enter paradise. Here, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ لَيْسَتِ النَّصَارَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. The Jews said that the Christians follow nothing. And the Christians said that the Jews follow nothing, though they both recite the scripture. Although it is one scripture, yet you are telling me something and he is telling me another thing from the same book. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? There is something wrong. That's what it means. If you are taking from the same source and he's taking from your source and they are telling two different stories from the same thing, there is something wrong. This is an evidence against the Jews and the Christians. Do the Jews believe in Isa alayhi salam? No. Do the Christians apply everything in the Old Testament? No. Yet it is the same. And Isa alayhi salam came confirming what was given to Musa alayhi salam. Like unto their word, said those who know not. Allah will judge between them on the day of resurrection about that wherein they have been differing. Now, there is a reason for this revelation. Again, knowing the reason of revelation is important. At the time of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a delegation from the Christians of Najran in the south of Arabia, they came to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they started disputing with the Jews before they even talked to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah sent down this ayah to remind the Jews and the Christians that both of you should follow the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentioned that reason of revelation. So you go back and you read it. Ayah number 113. And who are more unjust than those who forbid that Allah's name be mentioned in Allah's masjids and strive for their ruin? وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ وَسَعَ فِي خَرَابِهَا. And who are more unjust than those who forbid that Allah's name be mentioned in Allah's masjids? Who did that? Who did prevent Allah's name to be mentioned in his masjids? Who did that and when did it happen? It was no fitting that such should themselves enter them except in fear. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. For them, there is disgrace in this world and they will have a great punishment in the hereafter. لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Who are those people or what happened here exactly? When did this happen? It happened, yes. Yes, exactly. The Meccan Kuffar, when the companions and the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they went to do what? To perform Umrah. That's all what they wanted. But what happened? The Kuffar prevented them. So Allah sent down this ayah. You are the most unjust people when you prevent the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to just go and mention the name of Allah. Now what did the Muslim want to do there? Did they want to occupy Mecca? They just wanted to do the Umrah. But the Kuffar prevented them. Now what did the Kuffar used to do in Mecca? Did they honor the house or they did not honor the house? They did not?
They put the idols.
They put the idols. But in their feelings, didn't they think that this is respect to the house?
Yes.
Who built the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Kuffar, isn't that sufficient? Allah is reminding us in this ayah that the real worshippers, the real builders of the houses of Allah are not the ones who put the bricks and stones. It is the ones who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioned clearer in Surah At-Tawbah. مَا كَانَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ أَن يَعْمُرُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ شَاهِدِينَ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ بِالْكُفْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it's not for the idolaters, the polytheists, to build the houses of Allah. So the real building of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Worshipping Allah. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, it was not fitting that such should themselves enter them except in fear. What does that mean? أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. It tells you those people, the kuffar, if they wanted to enter the houses of Allah, they should not enter it and spoil everything. They should enter it with fear. So they should respect the Muslims when they enter the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not, what do you call, news. It is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, that we should not let them in the houses of Allah without respect. They have to respect without fear. And to Allah belong the east and the west. So wherever you turn, there is the face of Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَإِنَّمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Surely Allah is sufficient knowing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. What does that mean here? Can we pray to any direction, since wherever we turn, there is the face of Allah? This is the Qibla, but we could still pray this way? No? Why? It says, exactly, Allah commanded us to pray to the Qibla, but even if we are unable to face the Qibla straight, it's still, wherever we turn our faces, Allah is there. Allah is with us. So remember that, do not say at any time, no one is watching me, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be watching you. So, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَإِنَّمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah is with us. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. And they say, Allah has begotten a son. Who said that? The Jews? Christians. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا سُبْحَانَهُ. Nay, to him belong all that is in the heavens and on earth, and all are devout in submission to him. The originator of the heavens and the earth, when he decrees a matter, he only says to it, be and it is. بَدِيعُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. This is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he wants to do something, he says, kun, and it is, fayakun. I will stop here, inshallah. We were supposed to finish the entire chapter, first chapter of the Quran, but we will stop here, inshallah, and we will start again the next semester. You have lots of reading to do in tafsir. Okay. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى صحبه أجمعين.